BBC.
BBC.
You're with the BBC. Lilydale is a small village in the rolling hills of southwestern New York State in America. It's the home base of spiritualism, a uniquely made-in-America religion in which communication with the dead is both desirable and possible. Founded in 1879, Lilydale is North America's oldest community of spiritualists and mediums. With its roots in the radical and socially progressive movements of the late 19th century, Lilydale began as a summer campsite for all those who shared the spiritualist vision of universal equality and harmony. The tents and temporary shelters soon gave way to permanent homes, and today Lilydale has a population of more than 400. Thousands of visitors come in the summer months for workshops and lectures on communicating with the dead. Frank Falk was a visitor to Lilydale, and his documentary was first broadcast by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
I always like to begin by explaining how I work, Frank, so you have an understanding of how the reading flows with me. And while that is taking place, there is a rapport that is happening between you, me, and the spirit world, and we're just getting the room ready for your...
Jesse first sits across from me in a large wicker chair with big white cushions. She's in a tailored purple knit dress. Her hands are adorned with rings. Jesse is a petite woman with piercing blue eyes, maybe in her 60s, though she could be a lot older. There's something of an ageless quality about her.
And I always open with a prayer. I invite God, spirit, loved ones, guides, angels, who's ever there, to bring messages through for you regarding your spiritual journey, your soul's path, your future.
I liked Jesse the moment we met. I'd been strolling along a narrow street when I saw a small wooden shingle hanging from the veranda of her large Victorian house. It read, Jesse First, Medium. I walked up the steps to her door and knocked. Hello, Frank, she said, before I could introduce myself. Wow, that's amazing. How did she know my name? Sensing my surprise, she smiled and pointed to the media pass hanging around my neck, my name in bold print.
And when we are blessed with the presence of a loved one coming in from spirit, they're coming in on your presence, your vibration, your voice. You have attracted them here today. Also by your ability to be open and receptive.
Jesse is just one of 40 mediums living at Lilydale, people who say they connect the living with the dead. There's a large window in the room where she does her readings. It overlooks Lake Casadega. Kayakers glide through the water. On the sandy shore, people stretch out and soak up the sun. In the park nearby, families eat at picnic tables. Everything looks normal, but this is Lilydale. Otherworldliness is everywhere. First of all, there are those shingles all over the place advertising the services of mediums. And there are the posters and signs announcing lectures at the Assembly Hall, Journey Through Nine Dimensions, Mediumship and the Mystery of the Seven Bodies, Pets as Family Members and Spiritual Teachers. Signs point the way to places like the Healing Temple, the Fox Meditation Garden, and Inspiration Stump.
This is the 5:30 Inspiration Stump service. We welcome you here. This is a spiritualist religious service, and so we ask you not to drink, smoke.
In a small clearing in the forest, a woman stands in front of rows of people seated on wooden benches, parents with kids, elderly couples holding hands, the kind of folks you'd expect to see at a Sunday morning church service. Except here, the walls of the church are towering oaks, maples, and spruce trees.
Everybody, if you could stand, we'll say an opening prayer. Holy and divine Spirit, we thank you for your presence with us here. We thank you for this great and glorious woods. We thank you for Lilydale, our service place, who has what that has been here for over 100 years. I thank you also.
Over the next hour, mediums are invited to come forward and deliver messages from those who have passed over.
We're going to call a visiting medium from Toronto, Ricky Rumble. Thank you, Ricky.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks.
Okay. May I come to you, please?
Yes.
I'm getting a name around you. Bob or Robert?
That was my father.
Your father? Yes. Did he go by Bob?
He went by Bob.
By Bob. Okay, because he just came in, and he liked to eat. I think he's the one that...
My biggest fear of what I do is people thinking I'm full of crap, because I just couldn't stand that. I do what I do because I feel an urgency to do it. I certainly would never give a message if I didn't feel it was coming from a legitimate source.
In her early 40s, Ricky Rumball is a mother of two teenage sons. She makes her living singing jingles, Ford Motors, Pizza Pizza, African Lion Safari, and Speedy Autoglass, but her passion is the world of spirit.
About 5 years ago, I was in the library, and I found a book on Lilydale that was actually not even in the right section. I was looking for holistic things, and this book had been misfiled, and it caught my eye. It was one of those moments where you're thinking, what is this? And I pulled it out, and I took about 10 books home that day, and that was the only one I read. And that day I knew I was going to go to Lilydale. It just was like a calling. And within a few weeks, I came down with my best friend, and I've been coming here ever since.
Has he passed?
Yes, he has.
I don't know if he's going to admit it to me, but I think that part of why he passed was because he didn't take care of himself very well. Didn't eat well, didn't exercise. Is he a smoker?
No.
Who's smoking? I don't know. Anyways, don't worry about that. I was thinking he was smoking. But
I had been coming here and taking courses and channeling and doing all this crazy stuff, and my mother kept saying, I don't like this, I don't like this. And she wouldn't tell me why. I just thought, oh, well, she's an Anglican, you know. And finally I came home one day, and it was like coming out. I said, I have something to tell you guys. And my dad's a surgeon. They're very straight and British and normal. And I was terrified to tell them what I've been doing. I thought, they're going to think I'm insane. They already think I'm a bit bonkers, and I thought, this is going to be too much. I said, I see dead people. And my mom, she sort of rolled her head back and said, oh, I knew this was going to happen eventually. And I looked at her and said, what do you mean? She said, well, my mother was a spiritualist and she was a trance channeler. And I said, what are you? I had no idea. It was like the dirty family secret. I said, you couldn't have told me this 10 years ago when I thought I was crazy hearing voices. That was a huge part of my problem, what took me so long to finally admit that I was a medium. Do you know how hard that was to put it on a business card? That was the hardest thing to do. And it suddenly made it okay because it's a part of my heritage. It's a part of who I am.
I borrowed my mother's car and I came down here, and what I did was I looked at the sign where all the mediums' names were, and I walked up and down every single street here and looked at every single house and every single medium. Then I came back and I said, this is the house I'm going to. And I had my first reading from a trance medium. In trance mediumship, sometimes a person's voice changes. They're like going through trance, and another spirit sort of comes in their body temporarily and gives them this information. And all of a sudden, this older gentleman starts speaking to me in this high woman's voice, and I didn't say anything. I'm sure my eyes were quite bugged out. And he gave me this reading, and I remember he told me that I would become a part of this community somehow, but the most important thing was he told me, one day you'll have a shingle hanging outside your door, just like mine. And
from that Ellen day, Bourne sits on a park bench just a few yards from the town's pet cemetery. She was in her late teens when she made that first visit to Lilydale over 30 years ago. In the early 80s, while working as a psychiatric nurse in nearby Buffalo, she started living here during the summer months. Now she's president of the Lilydale Assembly, the name of the corporate body that governs the community. Ellen deals with legal issues, budgets, the scheduling of summer programs, and she's well practiced at explaining what goes on at Lilydale to a curious world.
Mediums talk to spirits, people that have passed over, loved ones, master teachers, angels on the other side, and they're in the middle, and they bring these messages to. They're sort of like the old-fashioned telephone operator that puts one plug into to spirit and the other one to you, and then they they bring the conversation through for you. And that's what a medium is. And all of our message work and all of the information that we give people comes from the other side.
Not everyone who claims to receive messages from the other side can hang up a shingle at Lilydale. There's a process of registration and certification that involves demonstrating an ability to communicate with the spirit realm.
Sparky just took Frank's hat, so...
Okay.
Sparky is our Cocker Spaniel, and Smudge is a Cockapoo. You good boy. Can you speak? You speak for treat? Speak? Oh, good boy.
Janice Dreschman talks to her dogs and to the dead. Both come naturally to one of Lilydale's newest registered mediums. Janice and her partner Robin sit at the kitchen table in their cozy home, not far from the trail that cuts through the woods to Inspiration Stump. They decided to make the move to Lilydale a few years ago. After a career as a high school guidance counselor, Janice decided she wanted to use her ability as a medium to help people dealing with loss. She has found her work at Lilydale rewarding and is excited by the connections she's been able to make.
At one point, I remember doing a reading for a gentleman, and I started to sing the song Ruby, and he burst into tears, and he had a Jack Russell dog named Ruby who had just passed into spirit. At times, even if someone in spirit had smoked, I would get the sensation of cigar or cigarette smoke. If they were a drinker and maybe had difficulty with alcohol, I might see a couple of bottles of fifths or beer glasses clashing. I get direct information.
It's easy to make fun of the idea of talking to the dead. Isn't it hard enough for most of us to communicate with the living? But there are times, even in the lives of the most skeptical, when strange happenings, weird coincidences, unexpected encounters can give rise to an eerie sense that someone might be trying to reach out from the great beyond.
I always use the example of my father who passed in 1998. I talk with him daily. I have a better relationship with him now than I ever did, and I ask for his guidance and his love. Anytime that I may be going through a struggle, there's a particular song that I've not told my family or my mother what it is that is my father's song and my song. And during those times that I'm having the toughest times, I'll just say, hey, Dad, all right, I need to know that you're with me and I want to hear the song within 24 hours. Because it's not a popular song, when it does come on within 24 hours, I would like to believe that his way of sending in love, whether it be through the radio or I'm walking through the store and I hear that particular song.
I'm also aware of someone that would have had a problem in the head.
Yes.
And that's how they come in, Frank. They give me a condition or a personality. Who is this person to you?
I can only think of my father.
And your father's on the other side?
Yes, he is.
And he would have done physical work or would have been handy at doing things?
No, not at all.
Well, then somebody else is coming in that would have done physical labor, physical work. I'm seeing a hand.
This has been 3 years? This is our third year.
Yeah, can you believe it?
That's amazing. 3 years ago, we started a ferry trail. This is the beginning of it. Lots of people actually see ferries down there.
The moon is full, and 12 of us are on a tour called the Ghost Walk, led by Connie Griffith, a medium and resident of Lilydale. We're hoping to see a ghost or a fairy, no sightings yet, and along the way learn about the history of this place. Lilydale is soaked in history and alive with the spirits of the past. Emanuel Swedenborg's certainly looms large. A 17th century Swedish scientist and theologian, he's the godfather of spiritualism. Swedenborg believed that death was a transition to a spiritual realm where souls evolved into a state of utter perfection. Quite a radical notion at a time when pretty much everyone believed in original sin, that without the saving grace of God, bestowed by the church hierarchy, a person's soul was destined for hell. Swedenborg was a major influence on some of the great American thinkers of the 19th century, Ralph Waldo Emerson, his good friend Henry David Thoreau. And then there was a young visionary named Andrew Jackson Davis, one of spiritualism's pioneers. Davis was convinced that he was a channel for Swedenborg's spirit. And in 1847, he predicted that communion with the spirit world would be revealed in a living demonstration. A year later, something strange happened in a small village in upstate New York.
Does anybody not know about the Fox sisters?
I don't.
Okay. Well, the Fox sisters were young girls, and they lived in Hydesville, New York. It's outside of Rochester. And they were attributed to the rise of modern spiritualism. They lived in a house, and they would hear rappings. And so they started playing games, and they said, well, we're going to communicate. And so they did, and so they got answers, yes and no, and then they expanded it to the alphabet. And so pretty soon they were getting all these messages. And people started coming, and they just became very, very famous.
Naysayers accused the Fox sisters of faking the rappings. So 14-year-old Maggie and 11-year-old Katie agreed to be observed and tested by the skeptics. They never failed to impress. A new religion was born, and in a few short years, spiritualism was sweeping the nation.
Was Abraham Lincoln a spiritualist? Oh, yes, he was. I have a book from the 1860s where he ordered the seance in the White House, not his wife.
In what was once a one-room schoolhouse, Ron Nagy runs the Lilydale Museum. And he does it with the help of the late community historian, Joyce LeJudis.
She passed away. I live in the same house that she did, but she taught me everything that I know. And whenever I don't know anything, I ask Joyce, and I get the answer. But that's one reason I'm the historian, because she plugged into my head and inspired me to learn more. On the back wall is we have a lot of our founding people. No one person founded Lilydale. It was a whole group of spiritualists, free thinkers, who had a common goal, a common idea.
Free thinkers believed that science and rational thought were the pathways to enlightened thinking. Many were drawn to spiritualism because it presented itself as a scientific religion, claiming that the soul's survival after death could be proved through fact and observation. Free thinkers and spiritualists also believed in humankind's innate perfectibility, the capacity to create a society free from ignorance, greed, and hate. No wonder, then, that Lilydale was a magnet for progressives of all kinds, advocates of racial equality, social utopians, and suffragettes.
We call this the Susan Anthony section right here. We have a little bit of a history and some early pictures of her in her women's suffragette dress. We have women copies of everything.
A lot of the early feminist speakers, such as Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony, did come and speak in Lilydale, which was very unusual because part of the reason for that was spiritualism was a church that permitted female ministers to get up on a platform and conduct a religious service. And also the Chautauqua Institute, which isn't far from Lilydale, was and still is a much more conservative religious organization. And so when these ladies went there to speak, they weren't permitted to speak there. So they wandered over here and were given a platform. Most people are not familiar with that part of Lilydale, but it certainly played a big role in that.
I was also aware of a man, probably medium build, salt and pepper gray hair, and he was riding one of those big senior bikes. You know how in Florida or warmer weather the seniors have these three-wheelers? And that's what he was riding. Would you understand who that would be?
I don't understand the bicycle part of it, but certainly I've known older men with salt and pepper hair, so it's hard to say.
Okay, and would you have had someone...
Today, Lilydale is still home base to spiritualism in North America. There are about 7,000 people across the continent who consider themselves full-time spiritualists. But there are thousands more who embrace the ideas of spiritualism while practicing other faiths. The religions claim that the material world is a pale reflection of a glorious spiritual realm, that our souls live on after death, and that loved ones who have departed can offer us guidance and comfort is mighty appealing. But like other religious movements, spiritualism knows the future depends on children.
At this time, I would like to invite Caitlin up to please do the benediction. So if you'll all bow your heads as Caitlin presents.
Thank you, Mother, Father, God, for giving us this beautiful day and Children's Week.
It's Children's Week at Lilydale, and a service for children is happening in the Lyceum, a large one-story white building set close to the grand virgin forests that surround the community.
And now I'd like to invite Meredith, please. Thank you, Meredith, for serving Spirit.
A poised 16-year-old with delicate features and shoulder-length dark hair comes to the front of the room, closes her eyes, and concentrates.
Okay, I'm getting Jack. Does anyone here have a Jack? Okay. I think he seems very tall to me. Was he tall? He's very funny. I don't know if he ever came across as funny, but
yes, he did.
He's saying that, first off, that a lot of people miss him, and
yes, very much.
There's no need to, because he says he's still there with all of them, and that, did he play pranks on people ever?
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, he says that there's kind of a prank going on now on someone, and they don't know about it. And
Meredith Louise Melvin was 5 years old when she first began talking with the dead. Her first contact with the other side was with a much-beloved uncle. Her parents did not dismiss her experience, and Meredith has always been comfortable with her ability.
I'm very open with my spirituality, and I mean, I don't go around like declaring it to the world, but if someone asks, I tell them, yes, I believe in the continuity of life and communication with that. And I mean, I've gotten weird looks many times and like, oh, really? Are you sure? And actually, my band teacher in eighth grade, he came in with a story after a weekend. He went on vacation. He's like, I went to this spiritualist place. It was so cool. It was underground where they did satanic rituals. I'm like, I'm not sure if that's spiritualism, Mr. Brenner. And I have grown up around it, but it's never been anything that's been forced upon me or like, oh, you need to go talk to a ghost right now or you need to go meditate in your room. You're grounded. Nothing like that. In my youth group, we watched the documentary Jesus Camp, which that scared the living pants off of us. One big difference I see between evangelical and spiritualism, we don't force our beliefs on anyone. We let them come to us, and we don't go out saying, what you're doing is wrong and what we're doing is right. You should come do the right thing and be with us.
Would it make sense to you? And I want to go back approximately 4 years where there may have been some challenges in your life where you had to step up to the plate. and work things out or take responsibility. And it could have been in a relationship. It could have been with a health situation with someone around you. It could have been with an authority figure or a parent. Would you understand that?
You know what? Nothing is coming. I mean, as I sit here, I'm just trying to be as receptive as possible, and nothing particular is coming.
Okay. So, Frank, at this point, what I would do would be to terminate this reading, because after a few things that you don't understand, maybe we are not connecting, and I wouldn't charge you, and I would send you to another medium.
The story goes that the feminist heroine, Susan B. Anthony, on one of her visits to Lilydale, was told that a dead relative wanted to communicate with her. "I didn't want to speak to her when she was alive," Anthony snapped, "and I certainly don't want to speak to her now that she's dead. So, maybe it's just as well that I failed to make contact with the other side." But for those who believe that it is possible to speak to their loved ones long gone, or for those simply curious about this unusual religious colony, Lilydale will continue to be a destination. And it's a place that welcomes everyone, dead or alive. I'm Frank Falk in Lilydale, New York, connecting with you through a medium called radio.
Heart and Soul was presented and produced by Frank Falk. His documentary was first broadcast by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Next week, the Egyptian filmmaker Nadia Kamel challenges what it means to be a Muslim in modern Egypt.